Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be back. I did greatly enjoy my time here last time, and as promised, I brought Natalie and Teddy, which I know everybody actually wanted to see. Every time I go anywhere, I'm greeted as, you know, I'm greeted as second hand behind, you know, behind Teddy, which is perfectly fine by me. The thoughts that I have on my mind this morning are in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, which I would I'm sure your preachers probably preach many sermons in this book. It's probably a book that's very familiar to many of us here. And Paul, in this sixth chapter, as often he did in his letters, he often would give these last words of encouragement and last words of duty to the people that he was writing to. And I if you're like me, I'm constantly in need of encouragement. I'm constantly in need of instruction in the things that Paul would often tell to these dear brothers and sisters. And he talks about in this chapter about the armor of God. He calls it the whole armor of God, and every piece of this armor is essential. As he states here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if one piece of this armor is missing, we open ourselves up to attack. We open ourselves up to falling. We open ourselves up to being wounded. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go through each piece of this armor. But I would encourage you, if you have not, it would be a wonderful study just to study each piece of this armor of God. But he begins when he's talking about this in the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I think that is important for us to remember that. Amen. Is that he did not tell these brethren to be strong in themselves.
Yeah.
He did not tell them often nowadays, people are told, to look within yourselves, that you are strong. The only strength that we have within us is Christ within us. Mm-hmm. That is the source of all of our strength, all of our righteousness, everything we have. Our faith, as I know Paul's been talking about faith. My faith is not in myself. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. Man, that's going to be vital for us to just remember that. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I think that sums up a good description of the devil, is that he's very wily.
Yeah, amen.
He's you think of the wily coyote who's always looking for ways to get the roadrunner. And he is constant, and he never stopped. He was constantly just looking for different ways. And as Peter described him, he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. that's important. And as I said, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And I want to talk about one piece of this armor that he mentions in the 15th verse. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Your footwear is very essential. One of my first jobs when I was a teenager was working at a shoe store. It was kind of like a... It was, my dad had worked there, my brother had worked there. It was just, you knew whenever you turned 16 that, okay, I'm going to go work at the shoe store. And there was often times, people would come in there and they needed shoes that were specific to what their job was, or to what they were going to be, or to what they were, going to be encountering or doing in the world. Shoes are designed for a specific purpose. We have running shoes. There are men would often come in who worked in factories that needed steel-toed boots to protect their toes. Nurses would often come in needing very cushioned soles for their feet because they're on their feet constantly all day. Even elderly people, they had certain shoes that were more designed for them that they wanted and needed. And Paul here tells us that we have specific shoes that are vital for us as we walk about in this world. And he says that it's the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. He says to have your feet shod, which means to latch these on. And that word preparation there, that Greek word, also means base. You think of the sole of a shoe or the base of a shoe, and how it is designed for protection against your feet. And Roman soldiers at this time had to have very strong boots, had to have very strong shoes, because oftentimes in battles during this time, the enemies would litter a battlefield with these spiked balls called caltrops. And if you didn't have the proper footwear on, if you were marching into battle, you would have to constantly be just walking and seeing where you're stepping. And if you were to step on one of those, then you could severely injure yourself. And then you would open yourself up to attack, open yourself up to being slain. Or if you encountered an enemy, and if when you went to retreat, you had ran through this field that just had all of these spiked balls, and if you didn't have these strong boots on, these strong shoes, then it would be very easy for you to fall, and for you to be and in retreat, for you to be attacked. So what we wear on our feet matters. And sadly, there are many people, and I was one of these for a long time, that I had the wrong shoes on. I had the wrong boots on. I thought that I had the right ones on, and it was not what I needed, and it would constantly did not bring me peace. It did not bring me comfort. It brought me the exact opposite, and that is the case for many people out there today. Because notice what he describes this gospel as, that is to comfort us, that is the base of our shoes that we stand upon. When the Apostle Paul described the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, he described it as wherein ye stand. We stand upon this gospel.
Yes, sir.
and if we do not have this gospel of peace, this gospel, this true gospel, then we make our feet vulnerable as we walk about in this world. We open ourselves up to attack from that wily devil, that roaring lion.
That's right.
That will seek and look for ways to trip us up. You know, I've heard many gospels in my time. I've heard gospels of fear, as I'm sure you've heard of those.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard gospels that. Well, first, I think we need to define what Paul defines as the gospel. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm. Paul describes exactly what the gospel is, and he says that the gospel that he declared to this church at Corinth. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures."
Yeah.
There are many gospels out there that will they will testify to that. They will agree that Jesus Christ accomplished that. And the gospel is meant to declare that good work, that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And it is meant, as Paul tells us here, it is meant to be peace. That is meant to give us so much peace and assurance. But oftentimes, you know, you will hear that same gospel mentioned, and at the very end, you know, it will often be said, "But you've got to do this. You have got to ask Jesus to come in within to your heart, or you've got to be baptized, or you've got to do all of these various things, some cultures believe that, you know, you still have to do the works of the law, as the Galatian church when they got so confused and believed and started to mix grace and works." And these gospels do not bring peace. If a gospel is built upon anything other than Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, if a gospel is built upon me needing to do something, that is not a gospel of peace. That is a gospel, I will testify, of pure anxiety. That is a gospel of constantly questioning yourself. I can recall times in my own life where I believed that my salvation, you know, was secured by Christ, but it was dependent upon something that I needed to do, a prayer that I needed to pray. There will often be times, you know, whenever like a big storm would happen outside and I saw lightning strike outside my window, I would wake up just scared to death, afraid, thinking that if the Lord came back, I'm not sure if I'm one of His. That was not a gospel. That was not peace to me. That was not a gospel that brought me peace.
That's right.
That was a gospel that brought me fear. And John testifies in 1 John, when he's speaking about love, as John often just spoke about love. And he spoke about us perfecting that love, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. And he says that, and he says in the 17th verse, here is our, in the 4th chapter of 1 John, here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And he says, there is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love casteth out fear,
yes, sir.
Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
That's right.
It is very, as John is saying, if we don't have a true biblical understanding of what the gospel is, that gospel of peace, we cannot perfect that love that has been shed abroad in our hearts.
Right.
I was talking to Brother Kevin about this at our Bible study. You know, so many people are so busy scratching their heads and studying the Bible, looking for a salvation that has already been given to them. And they're missing out on so much of the love of Christ that they could be studying and perfecting in,
right,
in this world and have so much peace. So the gospel is not a gospel of fear. If a preacher is preaching the gospel and it's making you, as John says there, to fear, to have this peril, then that is not a gospel of peace. That is not shoes that we should that we can stand upon.
Right.
And I truly believe that Satan is perfectly fine with that gospel, because if a gospel contains anything other than Jesus Christ, then that means that it can't be perfect. That means that there is always going to be something, that Satan is going to try to bring up to our minds. He's going to constantly bring out something to make us doubt, to give us fears.
Right.
And so many people have fallen out of the church because of moments like that.
Yeah.
Where they have not understood the true gospel of peace. and I believe that is what Satan just loves to see. I've often heard a gospel of confusion. I've heard of gospels where, you know, where some people are saved one way and some people are saved another way, and you know there are all these exceptions that Christ secured salvation for the elect, but there are also a way for, you know, other people to be saved. All this just confusion, and people just can't make sense of it. And I'm reminded of in 1 Corinthians that Paul tells us, as the gospel is authored by God, he's authored by Jesus Christ. And he tells us in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If there is a gospel that is bringing confusion, that is bringing doubts, we are opening ourselves up. Our feet are vulnerable to attack from the devil. And God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. As we firmly believe in the first chapter of Matthew, when they were declaring, when they were prophesying of Jesus to Joseph, and the angel said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And there is no confusion in that.
No.
There is nothing fearful in that. There is nothing but glorious and perfect peace. And that is what the gospel brings. That is the gospel that I've grown to love. That's the gospel that I want to declare. And when we know that truth, and we stand upon that in our feet, it is going to save us from so much fear and anxieties and worry in this life. And that's why it's called the gospel of peace.
Amen.
That is what it is meant to be. And there are scriptures to confirm this. In the 10th chapter of Romans, which we could spend a lot of time in the 10th chapter of Romans, as that is also where people have confused themselves so much within this chapter, when there is so much just simplicity here and peace, if they understood, because it's vital to understand. Many times, as was the case with me, it's just the simple fact of explaining to people that any time that we encounter the word saved or salvation, that it is not always talking about eternal salvation. That there are other deliverances that the Lord gives to His people, and there are deliverances that are up to us, that are vital for us to encounter, for us to believe. But our eternal salvation is secured by Christ. But in the tenth chapter of Romans, in the 15th verse. He says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It is very simple. That's what the gospel declares. It is a declaration of good things. It's a declaration of glad tidings of a warfare that has been accomplished. As Isaiah describes it in the 40th chapter. When he is, when here we have the, and here we have the, a prophecy concerning John the Baptist, the very first preacher that came on the scene, and in this chapter, God gave John the Baptist exactly what his message was going to be, exactly what his sermon was going to be. Can you imagine how John the Baptist had recorded for him exactly what he needed to talk about, exactly what he needed to preach about.
Yeah.
And in the 40th chapter, he says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. A preacher is meant to comfort the people of God.
Amen.
That is what a preacher is called upon to do. You know, there are so many, I hate the idea. You know, nowadays it's spread about the idea of, you know, that you don't have to go to church, that people will go to pull out certain scriptures and, you know, try to say, you know, that you don't really have to go to church and assemble yourselves. And it is so sad to see that happening, and people forsaking the comfort that they could be experiencing, the joy in the Holy Ghost they could be experiencing whenever they assemble themselves with the brethren. And under a sound minister, there is so much comfort in that. And that is what John was called for to do.
Amen.
And he says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is almost accomplished."
No.
her warfare, it's semi-accomplished. It's half accomplished, but there's still a little bit more that they've got to do. That her warfare is a quarter of the way accomplished? No. He says her warfare is accomplished. Fully accomplished.
Amen.
"That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." That is what the gospel is meant to declare to the
Amen.
Lord's people.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people who are struggling in this world who believe the Bible, who read it, and they believe it, just as that eunuch in the book of Acts, there are people who read these things in the scriptures, and they are in need of someone to come along and to show them what, and to explain to them that their warfare has been accomplished, to give them comfort, to give them peace. that we are desperately in need of in this life is peace. And again, in the book of Luke, in the first chapter, this is again concerning John the Baptist. When an angel is speaking to his father, or the Zacharias is prophesying here about his son, who's going to be the preacher, who's going to be the preacher before Jesus Christ. And it tells us here what exactly that preacher is going to do. And this, I believe, does not just apply to John, but to every preacher since John, of what they are to do. And he says in the 76th verse, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Notice what he says, that this preacher, this John the Baptist, what he's going to do: to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, mm-hmm. through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness,
yeah.
and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How many of the Lord's children are sitting in that darkness, in the shadow of death? you may have been there yourself. I know that I've been there. When you are just in such a dark place, and you don't know peace. You haven't been taught that peace. You know, that's you know God within your heart, but you don't have that that knowledge within your mind, within your conscience, that fully releases that burden from upon your shoulders. Yeah. And then you hear that beautiful message that gives you light, that just clicks a light on within your mind, like Paul describes it in 1 Timothy, to bring life and immortality to light. And that's exactly what the gospel does.
Amen.
And that is truly, that is peace. that is what the gospel is meant to do. As we declare victory, we declare liberty in this world. In the 89th Psalm, it says in the 15th verse, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Lord gave them this year of Jubilee. And every 50 years, they were to declare a rest within their land.
Yeah.
They were to, slaves were to be released. It was supposed to be just a year of just liberty declared to everyone. And there was a trumpet that would sound. And everyone who was there knew the sound of that trumpet. Don't you think that was just a beautiful sound for them to hear, and to know that they had rest, that they had peace? And there is a gospel trumpet that we sound today.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, there are many people that don't hear it. You know, and one of the things, again, if we go back to a gospel of fear, there are many who believe that the gospel does more than just bring peace. There are many that believe that the gospel is the means by which a child of God is born again. There are many that believe that you've got to hear this gospel in order to go to heaven. And in saying that, condemn millions of people,
yeah.
who will never hear that gospel sound. You know, back in the... You know, back when this country was first declared independent in the 1700s, news didn't quite travel the way it does today. I looked this up. You know, it said that when the Declaration of Independence was signed and declared, it took some states a month to hear that news. It took many people. Not everybody knew that was being declared. Not many people had heard that. Now, the fact that they did not hear it did not impact whether or not it affected them.
Come on, man.
Or had impact on them.
Right.
The fact that they did not know did not mean that it did not apply to them as citizens of that country.
Amen.
There are many of the Lord's people today who have the love of God shed abroad within their hearts, thankfully by not means of any man, because we would screw it up. And just as those people were, eternal life is secured for them. But don't you think those people, whenever they finally heard that news, when it came to their ears and they heard about it, I mean, can you imagine the joy, I would hope, that they felt within themselves when they heard the news that they were declaring their independence from Great Britain. But the fact that they did not hear it does not mean that it did not apply to them. You know, they didn't go around saying, well, I guess so-and-so, he hasn't heard about it, so he's not really independent. He's still under rule. No, that would be very... It would be silly for us to say that, right? Just because somebody doesn't have a head knowledge that it doesn't apply to them. And that is the same way with the gospel of peace.
Amen.
That our warfare has been accomplished.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ, you know, we can. I love to tell people, if they ask, you know, that nowadays, like I said, the word saved gets really thrown around and confusion to people. If you say saved or salvation, you know, they immediately just go to eternal salvation. You know, many people today will say, you know, I was saved when I was, you know, when I was this age or that age. But isn't it joyful to say that we were saved 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
We were saved 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary.
we just found out
about it.
Yeah. Amen.
And what a joyful it is to know that. Because as Paul said, we cannot run to the fact. He says there's a salvation in knowing this. He tells us that that this is part of our armor to know this gospel of peace. That it is vital for us to remember these things. You know, Paul, it says, you know, he declared unto them this gospel. They had heard this before. But they were still in need, and I'm thankful that they were in need so that we have it recorded today. I don't think that was by sheer accident. That was the Spirit of God that was directing him. And he said, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you.
That's right.
And I said there was a church in Galatians who... Paul says they went after another gospel, which he says is not another gospel. There's only one gospel.
Amen.
And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he says it again, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The church at Galatians, again, this is every book in this Bible is so vital to us today, and just
Amen.
Continually it is relevant. Now, this book of Galatians is not just talking about Judaism. This book of Galatians is applying. It feels so relevant today, so relevant in that the church at Galatians believed were trying to mix works and grace.
Yep.
They were trying to keep their traditions. They were trying to bring back to bring back, you know, Christ saves you, but you've got to do these works still, or else you won't be saved. And, does that not still ring true today with so many people who are under that yoke of bondage?
Yeah.
And this church, and I think for anybody to say, you know, well, it doesn't really matter, that they should go through and read this book of Galatians, and Paul would definitely beg a differ. That it matters, the gospel that we hear. It matters the gospel that we preach. Amen. It matters the gospel that we believe. And it is going to affect us. It is going to impact our peace. Because notice what he says, that these people, that there would be some that trouble you. There are many people, not just Satan himself, but you know, Satan likes to use people that might try to trouble you, might try to trouble us. And I think what keeps us protected, what protects our feet, is when we just constantly remember that gospel of peace. We remember that finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, people can say or do whatever they want, but that is something that they can never take away from you, never take away from us, is that beautiful message. This salvation that he's talking about, by which also you are saved. I don't believe that is not an eternal salvation he is talking about. But I said there are many people who are in need of a salvation that the gospel does bring.
Yeah.
There are people who have so much fear and anxiety and confusion within their minds, within their hearts, who just want peace. And if we keep in memory, all we have to keep in memory, if nothing else, is not the works that we do. You know, as I said earlier, if my gospel is a gospel of what Christ did, but I've got to do something, then my faith is not going to be upon Christ. My faith is going to be upon my faith.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's going to be upon me, and I'm not perfect.
Right.
That's going to bring fear and anxieties. But if I remember, if I keep in memory, not the things that I've done or the things that I do, but if I keep in memory the finished work of Jesus Christ, the work that He accomplished, the warfare that He finished and secured, that brings me peace. That brings me comfort. In the fifth chapter of Romans, Paul here talks about justification. and I'm sure your pastor, if he has not, will get to this. He's studying faith. But this justification here, you know, there, as I've heard it explained, it makes perfect sense to me and gives me peace because it makes so much perfect sense. You know, is that eternally we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're justified by grace. Before God, because of the finished work of Christ, we are justified, declared righteous in the courtroom of God.
Amen.
There is nothing that we can do because we have the greatest attorney. We have the greatest savior, the greatest defense attorney really that has ever lived.
Amen. Amen.
And he has justified us in that courtroom. But there is another courtroom that we have. There is a courtroom of public opinion, where James talks about that we're justified by our works of faith. In the courtroom of other people, you know, that whenever they see our righteous works, you know, that's where we're declared righteous by them, through them. And then there's a courtroom of our minds, as I've heard it described, and our conscience.
Yeah.
That is where, you know, we fully experience that peace, right? We experience that is in our minds. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And notice, this is all through Christ. This is all through Christ. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There is a salvation in hearing that gospel. And when you hear that gospel, when you believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, when you believe that He saved His people from their sins, that is, you can rest assured and know that you have been one that He died for. And there's a salvation in that. Not an eternal salvation, but within our hearts, within our conscience, there is a peace that we have with God. To understand that, to believe that, there is a peace in that. There is a deliverance in understanding that and hearing that. In the book of John, Christ described this very thing to His disciples. In the 16th chapter of John, in the 29th verse, His disciples now said that they truly believe that He came forth from God.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to think about after all these things that He's done, that they've been through with Jesus Christ Himself. It tells us in the 16th chapter of John, His disciples said unto Him, lo, now speakest Thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that Thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask Thee? By this we believe that Thou camest forth from God. And I love Jesus' answer. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? After all of these things that they had been through together, and His disciples, now we definitely believe that you've come forth from God. And He said, do you now believe? And He says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. That sounds very scary, doesn't it? That sounds like, just anxiety, to hear that. And He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
This world is still a scary place. This world is still just riddled with cow trips, with those balls of spikes that Satan just litters just everywhere. Things to bring us down, to bring us fear, to bring us anxiety, to bring us doubts. And when we keep in memory, when we believe this beautiful gospel, this gospel of peace, when we believe in the things that Jesus accomplished, in the things that Jesus did, that we can stand firmly, we can stand confidently in these shoes of the gospel. We can walk about the world in peace.
Yeah. Amen.
Because as Jesus said very plainly, to be that in the world we shall have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who as Paul described in his gospel, who died according to the Scriptures, who was raised again, who lived the life that we could not live. Who died on our behalf to save these wretched sinners that we are. And when we trust in that, we can be of good cheer because our Lord has overcome the world. And that is a beautiful gospel of peace. that we can stand on, that we can wear as we walk about in this world. I thank you for your time this morning. And I pray that the Lord may bless you.